So we're out here in front of the main offices.
Beacon Street. There's a lot of offices in here.
But who's in here that you want to see?
We want to see William Bulger, who's the president of the University of Massachusetts.
And you're a representative of the Radical Student Union?
Radical Student Alliance at UMass Boston.
And what are you guys going to be doing inside?
Well, you know, we're obviously going to have a rally outside, but we're going to take up a letter with our demands from the UMass community.
Are you going to read the letter inside?
We'll just hand it to him, probably.
Can you tell me what it says now?
You can get it. You can probably get it from him. He's got a press packet with a copy of the letter.
Okay, cool. And just a summary of the demands?
We want this campus to be opened on October 3rd, tomorrow, for dissent. And we want, if classes are going to be canceled, we think that students deserve reimbursement for their paid education that they're losing.
Exactly.
And we want to just complain about the expenditure of money on this, the millions of dollars that are being spent on this major media event, which we think would be better spent on the school. So.
And this is probably coming out of the UMass budget?
Some of it is. I mean, half of it's coming from the state, half of it was raised from corporate donations.
So in a sense, UMass students are paying for the campus to be shut down?
Yes, in a way.
And they're paying for the debates of two corporate parties coming in and doing their thing in front of national television cameras, and you guys won't be there to express your opinions.
Exactly, and it's not just us, but everyone who lives in Massachusetts. These are coming out of tax dollars.
Mm-hmm. What's the organizing been like previous to the debates happening here? What's been your experience in trying to mobilize the Boston community?
It's been very good. We've had a great response from third parties in the area, religious and activist organizations, as well as labor.
What's the outreach been to communities of color here in Boston? Are there going to be a lot of people representing diverse communities here down for the debates?
We think so. I mean, the Radical Student Alliance organized a teach-in series before this. And you know,
what was the numbers there at the teach-ins?
Well, it varied. We had 7 of them. But at the last one, it was organized by the Coalition for Mumia. It was on the death penalty. There was about 200 people there. And so we think that a lot of them will join us today. So.
And there's going to be several marches tomorrow?
Apparently. I haven't been involved in the October 3rd organizing. So.
And those are the people coming up from Dudley Square?
There will be a march from Dudley Square tomorrow.
And so as far as actions planned for tomorrow, there's a big street party planned on that avenue?
I think so. I can't really speak to that,
those
plans. But
where are you going to be tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I'm going to be probably recovering from the last 2 weeks.
But will you be in the streets?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, that's like the final conclusion to all the work that you've been doing, so I hope you can be there.
Perhaps. It's going to be, you know, we decided not to plan this tomorrow on October 3rd because the AFL-CIO is going to have 10,000 people marching out front. We don't want a confrontation with them. They're obviously pro-Gore. So
they're marching out front to support Gore?
Absolutely. Well, the AFL has officially supported Gore, so they're going to have a large number of people out in front.
Will there be other unions out there in opposition to their supporting Gore?
I don't think, not that I know of. I mean,
is there a big wobbly community here?
I'm not sure, not that I know of.
I talked to some industrial workers of the world down in Philadelphia, and they were very critical of the AFL-CIO supporting Gore, and their conception was that, you know, the AFL believes that if they spend as much money as the bosses, then they can buy the political leaders.
Yeah, well, we're obviously very critical of their decision to support Gore, but at the same time, we understand it as a practical political matter, you know.
So what's your beef, personally, with the two major parties?
Well, we don't think that they represent the best interests of public education, certainly. I mean, both support MCAS. Both have...
MCAS?
The MCAS tests, which they give in public high schools.
Mm-hmm. And that was a big deal yesterday, because someone mentioned that on stage, and several or thousand students stood up and, like, cheered loudly in dissent of these tests.
Absolutely. I mean, they're kind of the front edge of the attack on public education today.
It seems like students would be used to tests by now. What's their beef with taking more tests?
Oh, well, this is a test that prevents you from graduating if you fail it. And it's obviously very racially and class biased. So, we think that'll really hurt the chances of working class people to get an education. And UMass Boston is a place where a lot of working class people go on to secondary education. So,
so it's kind of limiting their opportunities for college education.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And so you're going to go in here soon and present this letter?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll look forward to that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot. So you're a UMass student, and I just asked you, why will you be out protesting the debates tomorrow on October 3rd?
I'm protesting because it's a narrow view. It's only the Democrat and Republican. No third party, no other representation. And both are bought by corporations, so basically.
And as a UMass student, how do you feel about being down here to present the president a letter?
Right now, I'm pretty excited because it's going to be my first political activity. So, you know, I'm really hoping a lot of people show up so we can really send them a message.
Yeah.
You know, that you can't do this without our consent. We're the students, you know.
Your friends and family, do they know about your political protest here?
No, they don't.
They don't?
No.
Do they know about your dissent to the two main candidates? Are they aware that you know that there's other people running?
Yeah, they know, but they try to discourage me, you know, since they're not very political, but I've taken a step in.
What do they say to you?
They say, why are you doing this? You know, you could end up in jail, you know. You don't know what you're doing. Basically.
How do you feel about jail if that happens?
I'm all for it. If it happens, it happens, you know.
Yeah. It's part of the political protest.
Yeah. Looking forward to it if it happens.
Yeah.
I'll just go with the flow.
Yeah. Were you at the Nader rally yesterday?
Yes, I was.
How did you feel about that?
I was very surprised and I was very excited. I didn't expect that many people to show up. I mean, when I was there was like a lot of people on the streets and everything. So I saw a lot of college kids. I was very excited. A lot of leftists. Everybody from the political spectrum. And then the rally itself, hearing Howard Zinn, Michael Moore.
Were those the first time you had heard them speak?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. And so they spoke on the issues that you're concerned about?
Yeah.
What are those issues?
Free healthcare, education. You know? You don't know how much it costs to get an education, especially college tuition.
Yeah.
If you work too, you know.
Yeah. Will you be voting for Nader in the fall?
Definitely.
Definitely. What, was yesterday a confirmation of your vote for Nader, or were you pretty set on voting for him beforehand?
Yeah, I guess that helped, but yesterday was sort of my, like, baptism by fire, so I'm all for Nader now.
Yeah.
Everything he represents, so.
What brought you to Nader in the first place?
I heard about the healthcare issue, you know, $10 minimum wage. These are reasonable things if you look around in the inner cities, you know.
Something that this country needs.
Definitely.
Definitely. Okay, so this is going to get started here.
Okay.
Can I have your name, your age, and where you're from, and that also that, you know, and then we just also that, you know, that it's fine that we use your picture and voice on camera.
Okay. My name is Dwayne Dickerson. That's Dewayne Dickerson. I am 22 years old. I'm a student at Emerson College. You can do whatever you want with me.
So why are you here today?
Where do I begin? There's Mr. Bulger's policies and procedures on his own campus at UMass Boston have been infamous these past few years. They know that there's toxic waste on his campus. They know that his library is prehistoric as far as info goes, yet they have enough money to cater to these corporate needs and these concerns for the debates. And this is clearly wrong. He's not inviting his own student press at the UMass Boston newspaper to attend the debates. Now, being a journalist myself, you have to defend your own. So I'm here to tell Mr. Bulger to expletive.
And then so do you really think that it do you really think that it is a crime that you're not being able to go to school on Monday and Tuesday?
It's only a crime because those people are not being reimbursed for the time that they paid for. UMass Boston, it's not like Emerson. You know, we lucked out. We're a private institution. But UMass Boston, that's a working class school. And the people that they get, they can attend because tuition is $5,000. They get a lot of local kids. They get a lot of kids from lower income communities. And they still have to pay loans for the next 20 years. So they're the ones missing out, and I feel for them.
And then, do you think that there is something missing? But just by not having Ralph Nader there or Buchanan there, a third party there from the debates, do you think that it is just corporate candidates?
Well, certainly, because they've ruled out democracy for the dollar sign, you know? It's sad to think that in a debate, it doesn't matter what stance you take, what platform you are, or who you represent. The only thing that matters is how much airtime can you pay for. You know, how legitimate is your party, not because of their political stance and not because of what the people have to say in support of those parties. They have more of a say-so just because they're able to flex more muscle, and that's all corporate greed, between corporations owning the press and the political system. The mainstream America is going to get whatever it sees. And for these debates, it's highly unfortunate that they're only going to get Republicans and Democrats.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about the issues that you think might be in the debates tomorrow. Do you think they're going to speak on any real issues, the ones that you just mentioned?
They'll probably agree on more things.
They're
both
going to be starting within about 5 minutes or so.
You've heard the joke of the Republican. They're awful similar when it comes to the death penalty, when it comes to foreign policies and engaging China in places where there are no human rights, and yet they agree to make bed buddies with them anyway. So the debates, if anything, they'll shake on it.
So it should be debate in quotation marks. It won't really be a debate. It'd be more like consensus.
Exactly. That's the simple reason that it's only being aired on one local TV station, the fact that there's only one major paper being able to cover it. It's not even just a debate between the candidates. It's not even a debate before the public to perceive it, because you're only getting it through one filter. There's only one way of perceiving it, and there's only one way that you can go to the voting booth.
Some people have asked, you know, why protest the debates?
Why protest the debates? Well, I have a few reasons, more than one, and when you combine them all, it makes an angry sort of Voltron character. But
do you think you'll have an impact on the millions of Americans watching the debates tomorrow? Do you think you'll have an impact on them?
Well, unfortunately, the people who are going to be covering the protests the most is going to be the independent media. And I'm all for that, but it's sad but true that the independent media already has a crowd that they cater to, and it's like preaching to the converted. It would do us much more good if we were able to take our resources as independent media and sort of get the communities involved in those issues, because people are going
to
see us. They're going to know that what we're doing is righteous, for the clear fact that they're shutting Nader out of the bait, for the clear fact that there are issues worth fundamental social change. But when it comes to the mainstream public, they don't know. They're not sure how that's going to be enough to motivate them, because they don't really know about it.
You can stand both on the court, you know, Beacon and Tremont.
Thanks a lot, and good luck tomorrow when you get out.
Traffic.
Thank you.
Silly pollution controls or anything like that.
Don't forget corporate welfare.
Of course.
Billionaires for Bush or Gore.
I mean, we are strong believers in the needs of corporate welfare, because, you know, we have compassion. And as compassionate billionaires, we strongly support corporate welfare. We oppose any attacks on it. And that's what we're here to stand for. We understand that Gore has to have a bit of rhetoric now and then. But we know that while he may be a Democrat, Gore is still a plutocrat.
Have you guys been able to impact Nader at all?
I don't like to talk about Nader very much, but let me just say that there's only one Green Party. And that's the green that we buy candidates with. I think that's all we need to say.
And if we had bought Nader, he'd be in the debates by now.
Yeah.
And so you haven't been effective. Does that make you feel like less of a billionaire, less power?
Well, no,
is he in the debates? I'd say we've been perfectly effective.
All right. The billionaires for Bush and Gore have been out since World Bank IMF protest in D.C. You guys were in Philly. You guys were in Los Angeles for the Democratic National Convention there. How come you're all over the place all of a sudden? I mean, you guys used to be hiding behind boardroom doors and inside of well-tinted limousine windows.
We felt that our position is now secure enough to where we can act in the open, and we have to make sure this rabble that crops up at these events that affect our interests just don't get too powerful. We have to make sure they understand we own them. We own the air. We own the water. We own these very streets. These people must understand this.
And do you feel like you own University of Massachusetts, even though it's a public institution?
Oh, I do own University of Massachusetts.
Bill Bulger is someone who we really consider a business colleague, and we feel that he's made a wise decision here.
Even though he is just a millionaire.
Understood.
This is the president of Boston, UMass.
This is the president of the chancellor of the entire University of Massachusetts system. You have to, you know, it's said in business that sometimes you have to lose some money to make more. And so these students lose a few days of class, but William Bulger will make more money, will make more political contacts, and that is a wise business decision.
And you
Don't
said...
remember, those missed days of class, those aren't lost money, those are saved money.
You said that he was a millionaire, so in a sense, is he a rank below the billionaires?
Not just yes. a rank, a class below.
A class below.
We as billionaires are, you know, we believe in coalition, so we are willing to work with millionaires, as junior partners, of course.
Yes, of course. As long as they know their place.
Yeah.
All right, well, good luck to you guys tomorrow. I hope you survive any dissent that might come your way in the streets as the people rise up against Capitol.
We're not too concerned. After all, the people understand. If they mess with us, the whole system goes down.
We've bought ourselves an excellent police force, and we feel very safe.
We're confident.
Confident. All right, thanks a lot, guys.